For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
As always, thank you so much for joining us. The high now is 91.
Nah, it's 90 in my book.
But I got a connection here. Now, okay. this is from 1990. Yep. 91 was also a significant number for this week, too. That was the number of homers Vlad Guerrero Jr. hit in the home run derby on Monday
night. Which is more than four teams, by the way. I forgot which ones they were. The Marlins are on that list. Maybe Shanks can tell us in a second. But they mentioned that in that broadcast, that he hit more home runs, 91 on Monday night, than four teams have hit all season.
Used to be a guy named Mart Whitten. He was hitting Mart Whitten.
That's right.
I think he hit four homers in a game, if I remember correctly. Maybe not. Maybe that's fake news. Bill, did Mart Whitten hit four homers in a game?
He did with the St. Louis Cardinals, yeah. And then later came to the Braves for a while, as a matter of fact.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Anyway, that voice, it's our man Bill Shanks, the host of the Bill Shanks Show, 93.1 FM in Macon, 98.3 FM in Warner Robins, and South Central Georgia, also 105.9 FM in Warner Robins. Basically, all of Middle Georgia is Bill's the Champ Bailey of Middle Georgia. He covers it like a blanket. Thank you.
Good morning.
Thank you for laughing at that. I appreciate it.
I've been listening to you guys a little bit. I had to go down to Waycross for a couple of days. I left early this morning, so I would really like some pancakes and syrup.
How great is that, by the way?
Oh, my God. I was laughing. I was somewhere between Willacoochee and Tifton, David, just laughing like crazy.
That guy, Joey Pancake, owned that song. That was what was so great about that. Just
that
owned
was hilarious.
It. Just owned it. Anyway, what did you think of the All-Star festivities this week in Cleveland? I thought they put on a pretty good show. I thought the home run derby was good. I thought the game itself, I know Shane Bieber was the MVP or whatever, and I get it. I mean, you award it to somebody. There are actually sometimes in a baseball game where there's not really, like, an MVP. But in itself, I thought it was a pretty good show for baseball these last few days.
I agree. I did not watch the home run derby. I was actually driving to Waycross that night on Monday night, so I kind of listened to it on ESPN radio, which was interesting to listen to a home run derby and not be able to watch it. But I did, and it was incredible to listen to, even with that, because of how it played out and the little war between Guerrero and Jock Peterson, which was awesome, obviously, and Ronald Acuna Jr. obviously had a great showing, and then the game. I thought it was funny, the game. I said on Tuesday to someone, I said, yeah, they're scoring runs at will and they're hitting home runs at will. Watch it be a pitcher's duel and go quick tonight. And that's kind of what happened. But it was good. I mean, obviously, there's just a lot of talent in the game right now, and it's fun to see them all together. And it was good. It was a really good showing. The Braves had their four, including Stint, that were there, and what a great bill for him. So I hate the ratings are down, though. You know, I saw something on Twitter last night about how bad the ratings are, and it's just it's incredible. I know it's a sign of the times of how things have changed, but the All-Star game used to be one of those events where everybody watched.
Yeah.
And sometimes it's no longer that.
Well, and the one other thing too, and I totally agree, it was different when there wasn't interleague play, because you were seeing the only time you saw these guys play against each other was either the All-Star game or the World Series. But the miking up of the players was really good too. And I thought Freddie Freeman's at bat against Verlander, that was really, I know he was a little distracted, but still, I thought that was just phenomenal what the technology is that they've got with that stuff now.
Oh yeah, it was good. It was fun. Look, this is an exhibition.
Yeah.
That obviously it matters, in that obviously the winner of the game is his league's going to be, they're still doing that, right? I think they're still doing that. But anyway, it's it's an exhibition. It should be fun. I think it was fun to be able to talk to the players and so forth from the booth. So yeah, it was a good experience, I think.
Back to the Home Run Derby for a second, Bill. Now, I'm not even asking you to back this up with analytics. Just what is your gut feeling? Are you one of these guys that thinks that the participants have now put themselves at a disadvantage in their swing the next few days, or is that just a talking point that doesn't exist for you?
Well, we'll see. I mean, I look, it's like, you know, Acuna. Acuna has had a great first part of the season. Could he level off a little bit for a while? Maybe, but I don't know if you're going to be able to attribute that to the Home Run Derby and him participating in that. I don't really buy that too much. I mean, I don't know. Maybe there is some kind of analytical data that will prove that the participants have gone down in their ratio of home run, if, you know, home run per bat or whatever. But I think, look, it was a great thing for Ronald Acuna to show people what kind of hitter he is, and I think the positives far outweigh the negatives for him.
And I think, too, kind of like what Logan's saying, with Acuna, I mean, and again, I don't know if there's going to be scientific evidence to back this up, but he's the one of all the guys in the Home Run Derby who didn't really, you know, his approach was like if he was in a game. He was just spraying the ball all over the place. He wasn't just trying to pull every single pitch 450 feet. I mean, he was just going with whatever was thrown to him.
Right, yeah, I agree, and that was great to see. I mean, it just showed everybody how good this kid is. You know, he probably could have sat up there and somebody may have been able to tell him, all right, look, just pull everything and get it out as quickly as you can. That's not who he is. So yeah, I'll be real shocked if he's impacted negatively by participating in that event.
Bill Shanks joining us.
Bill, we are now 6 games up on the Nationals, 6.5 over the Phillies. Fast forward all the way to the end of September. Which of those two teams is going to be in the pennant race with the Braves? Are the Phillies done, or do you see them kind of having an awakening and maybe going back to what we expected them to be before all is said and done?
I don't. I just think they're a mess. And you know, Jake Arrieta's got bone spurs now on his elbow, and I don't know. How he's going to be able to pitch through that. And you've got, obviously, Aaron Nola is very good. They've had some of their other starting pitchers be good and bad, hot and cold, kind of. And so, you know, I just think with Washington's rotation, you have to respect that. You know, you've got to know that Scherzer is one of the best pitchers in the sport, that Corbin obviously had a big contract and is having a good year, and that Strasburg is still good. So, I think the Washington team is the one you got to worry about and one you've got to really look at as far as head-to-head, who can give the Braves the trouble to where you don't want to get swept in a series by them. And I think it's Washington more than Philadelphia. I really do.
All right, let's talk a little bit about the explain what we're going to see here coming up on July 31st because of the rule change and how it might make things a little bit different. And what can Braves fans expect for the trade deadline?
Well, there's no waiver period anymore, so that means this is a drop-dead date, and July 31st will be it. Players, teams will pretty much have their rosters, 40-man rosters frozen. Whoever's on the 40-man roster, I should say that. I mean, I guess if there was someone released in August, they could still be added before August 31st at midnight. I don't think that's changed, but for the most part, as far as trades are concerned, that's a good question. So if you can't sell a player to a team because that's basically a trade for cash. So none of those kind of transactions can go on.
The way I understand it, it's like, I was just going to say, so like after, like in August, just say the Braves, or let's say I'm just like something nutty. I mean, like any like another player from a team, you could put a guy on waivers, but then if somebody claimed him, you don't have to work out a trade for them, right? You can get them, and then they could be on your roster for the postseason. Is that right?
Well, I mean, I would think. All right, let's just say, yeah, I think so. I don't know why that would change because the trade deadline, because that is a straight waiver claim.
Yeah.
compared to a trade. So, yeah, I haven't really thought about this, David, but I think you're right. I mean, you know, players can still be waived, I guess. And you know, I mean, most of the time when players are waived, they're either trying to be sent down to minor leagues or trying to be released. And the team that is waiving them wants to see if some team wants to pick up that salary. So let's say there's a – now, that's a real good question. Let's say there's a team that has a player that, you know, may make a little money. Would they waive that player to see if someone claimed him? Because that would not be a trade. I mean, so will those transactions still go on in August to have a little bit of drama? I'm really anxious to see how this goes because I think it's too early. I think August 15th would be a better deadline, David and Logan, because to me, more teams are going to be out of it by then. Mm-hmm. And I don't know how many, you know, some people think there will be a ton of activity because of the drop-dead date of July 31st. I'm not so sure because I just don't know if a team is, let's say, five games out of the wild card or five games out of the division. Well, if they got 2 months left, why in the world would they trade somebody?
That's what I was talking about earlier today.
Yeah, I think it's going to be, you know, people talk about Trevor Bauer, Cleveland, or Brad Hand. Why in the world would they trade those two? You know, why would even the Reds trade any of their players or Pittsburgh trade any of their Vasquez, the closer? Which, if that's the case, that means the players who are going to be available, let's take a Shane Green from Detroit, who obviously is going to be available from the Tigers, who are already out of it, then the competition for him and therefore possibly the price for him will be even higher and more intense. So it's really going to be interesting to see how this shakes out for the first time for this drop-dead date. I understand the discussion that was going on of, well, you know, why do we have this waiver stuff? What's the purpose? I mean, in a way, now that it's kind of gone, I kind of look back on it and say, well, there was a little bit of drama to it because of the blocking stuff that went on and that kind of thing. And we were always kind of surprised if someone did slip through waivers and they were possibly going to be traded. But I just think, I wonder if after this year they'll say, you know what, look, and it may depend on the activity. If there's not a whole lot of activity, I would be shocked if they don't go and say, well, why don't we change it to August 15th? Give teams two more weeks to make that decision because obviously between August 1st and August 15th, a couple more teams could be out of it or may decide they are out of it compared to having to make that decision with basically a third of the season left.
Bill, Madison Bumgarner, Marcus Stroman, Mike Minor, of those three, who's more likely to be in a Braves jersey after July 31st?
Oh, Lord.
Or any of none of them?
Or none of the above could be an answer.
I don't know. Mikey Minor, obviously he's having a great year. He's mentioned in the Cy Young discussion for the American League right now. But, you know, I mean, I don't have the standings in front of me.
But that's what you're talking about. The Rangers are like two games out of the wild card.
Right, exactly.
Why would they trade?
Why would they trade?
Yeah. What does that say to your fans?
Right. I mean, there's no way you could trade someone in that situation. There's no way. That's just ridiculous and impossible to think that they would do that. So Toronto's out of it. San Francisco's out of it. So Stroman and Bumgarner obviously will be traded. I don't like Marcus Stroman. I've heard some bad things about him. He's just not a very good clubhouse guy. I heard it last night from someone, as a matter of fact, because there was a rumor out there last night. And look, we may see some trades today. There may be something happening today. Last couple of years we've seen trades right around the All-Star break. So it wouldn't shock me if something happened to that. I'm not talking about with the Braves necessarily, but, you know, the kind of crazy season of the trades has really kicked into another gear today after the All-Star game is over. But I don't think Stroman's significant enough for me if you're going to trade something significant in return. And, I mean, we've been through the Bumgarner thing before. I think he'd be a perfect fit, but, you know, and here's my other problem with Bumgarner. You know, Alex Anthopoulos obviously does not like to give out long-term contracts, except if it's Ronald Acuna or Ozzie Albies, which I'm thank God for that, obviously. But, you know, let's say he traded for Madison Bumgarner. I think there would be a pretty good chance if Bumgarner was traded to Atlanta that he'd re-sign. I don't know what Alex Anthopoulos would feel about offering him a contract. And you know, I don't know how that would go over. He may think that that would be wasted money. You know, and people keep on talking about, well, Bumgarner's not what he used to be. You know what? The same thing was being said 2 years ago about Justin Verlander before he was traded to Houston. And look what he's done. He helped them win the World Series in Houston, and now he started the All-Star game of the night. I'm not saying Bumgarner will do that. I'm just saying you've got to be careful about writing these guys off, especially since Bumgarner is only 29 years old. It's not like he's our age, for crying out loud, Dave. You know, I mean, he's only 29, but stats are showing this, that, and the other, and trying to put red flags up. But I still think he and Will Smith would be the perfect candidate. But, they're not going to get those guys, from what I've been told, without Waters or Pache, and it just makes me cringe. I mean, it's a tough, tough decision that is going to have to be made about what to do with this team, because I don't think there's any doubt in anyone's mind that right now the Braves are the second-best team in this league. There's no way in the world they can compete with that first team, that best team, unless they get some help.
Can the Braves win the World Series or even the NLCS with the bullpen they have now?
No.
Can they win it if they add Will Smith?
Well, I think it's possible, because, and here's why. If they added a closer like Will Smith, who I think, by the way, is 22 for 22 in save opportunities.
Yep.
So if you want to talk about the difference between Will Smith and Luke Jackson, there you go. But you know, what's going to be interesting to see, David, is two things. Number one, if they get a real closer, how does Luke Jackson fall back into a setup role, and how effective can he be in that role? Will he be pissed, or will he be effective and be okay? And also, if Gausman slide back into the bullpen too, how much better could the bullpen be then?
I was going to ask you about the bullpen and Mike Foltynewicz, where he may fall when he comes back. Assuming he comes back, I mean, after the break here, are we expecting him to be a bullpen guy, or is he going to fight his tail off to get back into that rotation, you think?
Well, I'm sure he wants to be in the rotation, and they would probably like to see him in the rotation. I mean, they've said that they would like to see what their internal options are before they make a move, and I think part of that is the leverage. I mean, if everybody knows Folty's wet in the bed in the rotation, they're going to drive that price up on the Braves, knowing they're going to need a starter no matter what. I don't know how many more starts they're going to get Folty. If they get him two more, it's going to be right up against the 20th of July or so. That'll give them about a 10-day period to make up their mind of what they're going to do with the rotation, because if they do acquire another starter, Folty's spot's in jeopardy. He's got to continue to do, and he's done well so far, he's got to continue to do well down there so he can give them a reason to put him back in that rotation, or if not, yeah, I think he would fly back to that bullpen role.
Asked by longtime listener Stevie T.
First-time caller.
He's asking about, I don't even know how you say his last name. It's Y-N-O-A?
Winoa.
Winoa. Where does he fit into either the short-term or the long-term plans, and what happens with the guy who's having like a great year, like an Adam Duvall? Is he a guy that, I mean, because to me it's like the Braves, their lineup is really good and Snitker's not messing with it, but the bench could use maybe another little bit of help there. Where do you, and I know Enoa is a pitcher, but where do you see, I mean, we're not talking about the big moves like Bumgarner like we have been, but the little tweaks. What kind of little tweaks do you see for the second half of the year?
Well, I think that's a good question. I mean, the bench is in pretty good shape. You got whoever's not starting is the catcher. You've got Johan Camargo. You've got Matt Joyce, who's been very effective, and obviously Charlie Clutch, who's unbelievable. You've got Ender Inciarte, who is coming back. I don't know what they're going to do with him, but he's coming back. He's in Mississippi now, so he's not too far from being ready to come back. I don't know what they're going to do with him. You got Duvall in AAA, who obviously is a major leaguer that's down there because they don't have room for him, and they're not going to get him up right now, and I don't blame them. And so they got some depth there. I mean, that's very good depth for them to rely on, especially when they're forming that playoff roster, if they're able to get there. As far as Winoa is concerned, I mean, he's another one of those arms that I think, if given the opportunity, if he does well, he could stick. I see more as a bullpen piece, And I don't know if he's closer material, but I think he's someone that they've obviously fast-tracked to the big leagues. He got there a couple of weeks ago for a couple of days. And you know, I think he went 7 innings the other night, Triple-A, which that doesn't happen very often. So maybe he is more – he's mainly been a starter in the minor leagues, but he certainly was fast-tracked in the minor leagues this year to make me think that they were pushing for the bullpen role maybe. He's got good stuff, good fastball, you know, mid to upper 90s. So I think he's another one of those guys. I mean, here's the thing. It's like Kyle Wright. David, in the last 5 starts, Kyle Wright is really doing well, including he's hit 3 batters. And you may think, well, why would you bring that up? Well, you know, last year, the entire season for Kyle Wright, he hit 1 batter. And the Braves were a little concerned about that because they were like, you know, he's too tentative. He's not pitching inside enough. He's not being aggressive on the mound. Well, if he's hit 3 batters in 5 games, he's listening to them. And in those 5 games, I think his ERA is like 2.10, if I remember correctly. So, you know, could Kyle Wright come up and do something? Bryce Wilson's up there now. That's something that you have to think about. It's not out of the question in my mind. I think Ian Anderson, because of what he's done here in the last couple of weeks, including 7 no-hit innings with 14 strikeouts. He did great the other day in the Futures game. I don't think he's not on the radar. I think he is squarely on that radar now to where if they think they need someone, maybe they give him a shot. So I think there are a number of pitchers that are on that 40-man roster that could contribute in some way between now and the end of the season, and we can't forget about that. I think it's very crucial to remember. There's pitchers in AAA right now who are big league pitchers. I mean, they're not great big league pitchers, but they've got big league time. And, you know, Shane Carl and Dan Winkler, I mean, they've had obviously some struggles to why they're – that's why they're down there. But they at least have some experience in the big leagues before this season.
Would Swarzak be a guy that might be considered for the closer when he comes back?
Well, maybe. I mean, he's got to prove he's healthy now that he's got the shoulder issue. And, it, you know, it bothered him last year, so that was a problem. But I really think – you know, look, we can try to find a closer, whether it's Fulte or Luke Stitnow or Swarzak or Grant Dayton or Gene Garber or Rick Camp or
yeah,
whatever.
Al Hrabowski.
You know, they need a closer. They need a Will Smith. They need to have someone who is a closer, not a wannabe closer. I mean, sure, maybe if the prices are too high, they say, all right, Fulte, you know what? We got to rely on you to be the closer. Let's take a shot at it. I don't know. I mean, I would, to be honest, because I'd rather get another starting pitcher, let Teron be the 4th or 5th guy, and have Fulte go the bullpen. I'd rather Fulte and Gossman both be in the pen, to be honest with you, because I just think their fastballs coming out in that bullpen would be phenomenal. I mean, they both throw upper 90s when they're starting, so – I've just soured on Fulte a little bit because of his struggles, and I don't know if I trust him going back in that. I mean, look, one of the things that's amazing about the first part of this season is that the Atlanta Braves are in first place, and 2 of their starting pitchers that they were expected to have to start the year, who were both on the DL to start the year, IL start the year, have ERAs over 6, and 1 has got a fake injury, and the other one's in AAA.
Yeah,
and the Braves are 6 games up on the field on the Nationals. That's amazing to me.
That's the bright side right there, my man. Well, tricky little road trip with the Padres and the Brewers, and then back home next weekend to play. What, the Nationals still got 14 more games to go against them. So I'm excited about the second half.
It should be a lot of fun. I think, you know, we've seen great baseball, great games, great wins in this first part of the season, and yeah, I think there's a lot more good baseball to go. And, you know, look, we know they accelerated the pace for the rebuild last year. We know they are doing it again now this year. But when you're this good and you've got this big of a lead and you know you can win some ball games, you got to go for it. And these next 3 weeks, I mean, we're going to find – what is it, 3 weeks from today, I guess. We're going to find out for sure of what kind of roster this team will have down the stretch and in October.
All right, Bill, great stuff as always. Thank you very much. Safe travels, and we'll catch you again next week.
All right, guys, have a great weekend. Thank you so much.
All right,
thank you.
Buddy Bill Shanks, our Atlanta Braves expert.
It's a good title.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile. And the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time. There's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.